Welcome to Paradigm Shifters, and our paradigm shifter today is truly a paradigm shifter. Welcome to the show, Penny Pierce, who's kind of the mother of a bunch of books called Frequency and what's the latest one, Frequency?
Well, Leap of Perception, and in the new one that's coming out in October is called Transparency, Seeing Through to Our Expanded Human Capacity.
Okay, that brings me to exactly what I want to talk about.
The
right?
Next buzzword, right? You know, I wrote it, you know, a couple years ago, started with that title, and now I'm thinking, boy, is that going to be timely?
Well, it's funny because it's like the titles alone help me ride the frequency changes on the planet. Because I often see that we're getting these tremendous downloads of high frequencies that have never been here before, and they're affecting all the universes, not just ours, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's, well, in our world, it's certainly affecting matter. Everything physical is rising in frequency closer and closer to the spiritual frequency. So,
and everything is breaking apart, meaning this is probably good, because if the frequencies change, the texture of matter has got to be different. Or the
well, I think we are becoming more porous. We're vibrating faster. We're not feeling that we have such great distinctness and separation from each other or from objects even anymore, that the spirit is in matter and the soul is in the body. It's not out there anywhere. It's all one thing, functioning, you know, basically in the same time and space at different frequencies. You know, so we're getting a whole different view of what reality is. And that's what's been fascinating to me, is that sketching out of the process of how that's happening and what it's going to feel like when it becomes normal.
And is it going to be normal? Okay. I put up an Instagram recently that said becoming and becoming and becoming, because I think everything is just in a state of becoming, right? And we don't know what I don't even think we know what humans are going to be like. Hopefully we'll pick up some higher drafts in ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
I think we, in our deeper selves, in our non-verbal selves, we do know exactly what we'll be like. I think we know these ways of being, of instantaneousness and no fear, mm-hmm. no contraction of energy, no blocking of energy, where things just flow. You know, it's not even like you have to have your own individual brain anymore, because in that reality, your brain is like a focus of the collective brain, you know, and so everybody helps you. And it's so different.
And by the same token, it has to be from the inside out. We can't take our descriptions from a lateral viewpoint like we do now, or we have been doing.
Right. Well, in this new reality, there's no outside world. So you can't get something from somewhere else.
Yeah, that's wonderful. I feel that. I feel like I really understand that. And then I go, do you really? I mean, this is quite...
Well, you can't understand it until you can feel it.
Until you can I think that's,
you know,
right.
We have to feel into it and imagine the feeling state of when you're so interconnected with everything. And then in that field of unification, everything knows about everything else. And so it becomes more friendly and it becomes very supportive, because why wouldn't it want to support itself? Why would it want to act against itself? It doesn't. That's not the way the universal laws work. You know,
well, and it's intriguing, because we heard that we were some kind of experiment from like Pleiadians and Syrians and so on, and that we're supposed to be finding our whole hunt has been looking for self expression or free choice. Free will. Yeah. And so when you're talking like that, I'm going, yeah, it's sort of all, it all fits in a kind of an interesting, intriguing way, doesn't it?
I do feel like we get to be in this experiment and enjoy the whole act of bringing things from the non-physical realm through attention down and into a slower frequency and have it crystallize in the three-dimensional world and take shape as objects and events and, you know, and then disappear back into the field again. And, you know, and that's the experiment. And, you know, I think we're lucky that we get to be here.
Especially at this time. Is this not kind of the end of a lot of ways and the beginning of a new consciousness?
Well, I do think we're at the crux of a transformation process that's been going on for a long, long, long time. And certainly other people have gone through transformation, monks and priests and so forth in older time periods. But the masses have not.
Right.
And that's what's going to be different now, is that more people, larger groups of people, are getting this new consciousness and moving into, I call it moving out of the information age into the intuition age.
I like that a lot. That's
cool. You know, it's a whole different way of knowing reality, of working with perception, because we're moving out of the left brain into the right brain, and then going back to the left brain. You know, we're not just getting rid of the left brain, but we're not letting it be the boss. And it is for implementation, where the right brain is for the intuitive accessing of, you know, the imaginal realm,
mm-hmm.
where all the ideas are. And then the collective consciousness is there helping us receive whatever we need to receive next so that everybody wins, you know. And it's so you're individual and you're part of the collective flow.
So I think of people that I've interviewed, some amazing people, as you probably have experienced as one of them. But I was thinking, what do you make of light? What do you think light workers are? And that's not a trick question. It's me. One of my interviewees talked about there were about 500 million light workers on the planet, all meant to, is it fuel or to engage a lot of this huge change, and he called them systems busters. What do you think of that? I like the idea, but I don't know if it's real.
Mm-hmm. I would never put a number on anything or quantify it like that, but I do really feel that it is the time where people have kind of known for quite a while, over many lifetimes, that this was the waking up time, mm-hmm. where we were going to remember a lot of what's really true and who we really are. And many people have been working for lifetimes getting clear to the point where it's like the critical mass is such that we can just almost like leap over karma or just drop it because we don't even need it anymore.
Yay.
I mean, you know, it's like, who cares about it? It's like, I already get the universal principles. I don't have to slow down and go back into living through all this karmic stuff. And so that there's an acceleration of clarification and, like I'm saying, becoming transparent. And in these times, plus the fact there's a lot of new soul groups are incarnating that have already great deal of clarity and they don't have past karma.
Mm-hmm.
So all the kids and the young people, they already have half of this stuff, you know, and
they're totally intolerant of our crazy stuff. don't you think?
I don't think so. I think a lot of them are clearing themselves as well, or maybe even helping clear their parents. I think they're also very aware of what's going on in the planet. And but I think they don't have a lot of patience in terms of
that's
understanding
kind of what
time.
Mm-hmm.
They come from realms where everything is like the mental realm, let's say, where everything's instantaneous and they're all interconnected in huge groups and a group mind. And then they suddenly drop into the physical world and it's too slow for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything wants to happen really, really fast. So I think they have actually a great deal of compassion, but they're frustrated with the logistics, you know, of the physical world right now.
And a lot of them are way better at love than we have been in our defensive nature, right?
Yeah. And a lot of them are very confused by the emotional body, especially right now where all the, you know, little stuff out of Pandora's box is being released up into the conscious mind. And we're floating in a big sea of negativity,
mm-hmm.
and fears that are being released and processed.
Which brings me into our administration. What do you think is happening there and in relationship to this evolutionary frequency changes and
Well,
so
I've
on.
been saying for quite a few years that part of the process of transformation is clearing the subconscious mind.
Right.
And part of that is that the frequency on the planet has now increased to such a degree that old fears and things that used to be able to be suppressed and denied and hidden actually can't be anymore. They're sort of popping out of their hiding places and coming up to the surface and showing up in the conscious mind or in your daily reality or on TV, in current events in the news. And so, you know, this is stuff like pedophile priests and sexual abuse and, you know, scandals and so forth.
Mm-hmm. And lies, huge lies.
Yes, and lies. All the stuff that used to be able to trick people, we're not putting up with that. That's why transparency is like such a big deal right now. It's like we want clarity. We're sick of all this hiding, all these excuses, all these secrets, you know, but it's coming to the surface, so we're seeing it now. And that is a healthy process. The thing is that we need to not agree with it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to fight it because then you add energy to it. But the idea is that you see it and you say, this is ridiculous. I'm not participating with this.
Mm-hmm.
And people who are living with lies and cleverness and distraction and domination and trying to control the things the way it used to be, you know, like they're going to be seen very soon as just very old-fashioned and boring and outmoded. So, you know, we're seeing it especially now in politics, I think, and there are a lot of aspects to this. One is that I think that we had to have the fundamentalist kind of conservative consciousness come to the fore, because that's where a lot of the fear beliefs reside. And yet in the more liberal people, there are fear beliefs too, but they're on the other side of this, you know, where instead of controlling reality, they're avoiding reality a lot of times,
okay.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, it's always fight or flight methodologies that are trying to deal with fear. And so conservatives, I think, tend to be about fight. They tend to be, let's control things, dominate things, keep it the way it was. Let's not have change. It's too scary. We don't know what's, you know, outside of the known reality. And in order to do that, the left brain, which goes into hyper mode, which is ego to the max, and then it becomes narcissism.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point,
which is a control tool, right?
It's totally about control. It's as though with narcissism, and we're seeing that everywhere, really, the narcissist has to have the outside world agree with the way they think reality should be so that they can feel themselves, so that they can feel good about themselves. Because basically, the narcissism feels isolated, cut off, and really disconnected from the soul or from love.
But it's funny that if they feel cut off, they've got a whole group of them that are hanging out together. I guess they found some solace in that.
Well, that's what happens because they all agree with the way they have reality set up.
Yeah.
That's why I think that narcissist dictators all, you know, it's like with our president, he wants to hobnob with other dictators.
Mm-hmm.
And
he wants them to like him. Mm-hmm.
Right. He wants everybody to like him and adore him, and that other big bossy, you know, leaders will be his cohorts.
Well,
you know.
Do you think he's going to become of one of the new, is he going to suddenly evolve? Is that what we're going to see? Because he's coming apart, I think.
I don't think he's going to evolve very quickly, honestly. Mm. I think that the narcissist pattern here in him and many of the people. Remember, narcissism is control. It has to have the opposite form of, you know, it's like those who want the dominating parent to tell them what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Those who don't have a strong enough sense of self will match up with people who have an overly strong sense of self.
Right.
You know, and
yes.
Both of those are false senses of self. though on the spiritual path, we're learning now to let the soul come through the body. That's through the personality. And I call that your home frequency. You know, when you're feeling your very most wonderful true self, and it is compassionate and has all the qualities of the soul, joy and all of those things. But narcissism is a fake version of that. Fake news, if you will.
Fake news, know? Yeah.
It is.
Yes, it is.
You know, it's an artificial way of feeling the soul. And so anyway,
it's almost desperately holding on so it doesn't have to go into that.
That's right, because it doesn't want to admit that by letting go, you might have to feel nothing and then be annihilated in the nothingness.
Right.
You know, but I think that when we see the leaders go down, which I think we will, then those followers who are so obsequious around, you know, giving them all their due because they're afraid of losing their jobs or whatever they're afraid of, they'll go down as well. They're tied together. So I have a feeling that we are going to see some pretty big dramas here in the next short period of time. I'm not going to name months or anything here, but
no, I agree with you. I kind of worry about the little bit more of chaos where people hurt each other because it's too chaotic, you know. But
I think there are enough clear people that, I mean, there's certainly going to be chaos. And I said this very early on when he got elected, that because of the stance he had during the campaign, which was rebellion and going against everything traditional, basically, that we were setting ourselves up for a revolutionary society right now. And I think we are going to see more and more people in revolt.
Yeah, and we should have been. I mean, if we're going to stay in the third dimension, it should happen in a way. I think of all the wars and the refugees and the punishment of Mother Earth and everything. There should be some kind of, like, revolt against that crazy domination.
Well, part of it is that that thought form, that way of thinking, you know, reversing all the good things that have been done to protect the environment and protect women and children and protect people who are sick, you know, like just everything good that's been done is being just trashed. That kind of destructive, negative, low frequency.
It's like thinking, a tantrum.
Yeah, it is. But it's also too slow, too low frequency for the planet. And when things are, the acceleration is still going strong. You know, it didn't stop. It's continuing.
No, it's picking up speed, I believe.
Yeah. And as that happens, then just this clearing process is inexorable. It's going to happen so that everything that is holding energy flow back into the past, into contracted thinking, into fear, into ego, those things will not, they'll be like water behind the dam. You know, energy is going to break through there. And it, you know, the forms of that will be revolt. The forms of that will be the people who are arrogant and self-centered and can't see beyond their own belief systems about themselves will shoot themselves in the foot. They're going to do themselves in.
So politically speaking, we should be more kind of passive, do you think?
No, not at all. No, you speak up for what you feel is true. You act on what you feel you need to act on right now. You don't sit back and just watch other people do it. This is a time to get in gear and embody all the things that we've been learning. Right? And not in a fighting, resistant kind of way. We have to hold the mindset of being the third point above the, you know, the opposition, you know, the third point on the triangle, where we see how Democrats and Republicans are part of the same kind of issue. Why don't they join their positions together and form a new thing that's bigger than either of those halves? You know, why don't we move out of hierarchical thinking, which is old linear perception, into spherical holographic perception and see how government changes then? You know, I've written about that in Leap of Perception. But
I really love that concept. I don't know of any that are talking about that, any politicians that are speaking of that yet. But
not yet. But there are some like Tim Ryan, and there are people who are very open-minded, and, you know, does a lot of meditation. So there are people who are
coming. There's a lot of meditators. I'm from Canada, and I have friends who say, what are you doing down there in America? It's a very scary place. And I say, well, I know some of the most conscious, the greatest light people I've ever met are here, actually. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's probably not true, but I have met a lot, if you know what I mean.
Oh, I think it's true, but I see
But they're all over the world.
All over the world.
Yes.
You know, but I think, I don't know. There's almost a feeling of, I want to say, like returning to the underlying values of the founding fathers, mm-hmm. like what the core of our country was developed to do.
Well, wait a minute. Now, I read something you wrote, which is something that I wish I had written because my mind writes it all the time, which is America could be the light center. I don't know if the founding fathers talked about that, but it could be the light center of the world in the way it could lead that spread of frequencies in a, not mm-hmm. lead it, but, you know, shepherd it or herald
it. Well,
it's
or an influencer, you know, somebody has to ground the concepts into practice. And mm-hmm. I mean, even the fact that we're going through this purification, if you want to call it that, in politics of the fear-based thinking coming up and being so visible and thinking that it's so in charge. And look at, they're creating a healthcare bill in private secrecy. No one else can see it.
I know. It's like, please.
It's like this whole idea of having to protect oneself and not be discovered and thinking that you can just by using distraction and lies and telling one thing one way and then flipping over to the opposite side and saying the opposite thing and that nobody will notice, nobody will see through it. You know, it's you know, it's ridiculous. Everybody's seeing it. At least I think, I mean, except for like 35% of the country who is still supporting him. But
who actually, yes, I won't get into that very far.
Well, but you know, people who have a certain beliefs and are sticking with beliefs are going to stay with those. That's part of the old contracted thinking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because people change is scary.
Also, security is an interesting
yes.
word that can be plastic, but it's not always in people's minds and hearts, is it?
Yeah. You know? Well, I think security comes up a lot when, how do I want to say this? It's like we need to learn to be self-fulfilling and creative and able to work with the imaginal realm to create new opportunities and understand that we're not limited.
Right.
You know, and when you feel like you're really limited, like, you know, if you grow up in a small town and all there is mining jobs and you've never gone out and seen the world and nobody ever taught you how mm-hmm. unlimited you are as a soul, or that you're enabled to change things if you want to,
mm-hmm.
You know,
you'd be fear-based to keep yourself safe all the time.
That's right. And then security comes mm-hmm. up as a big issue.
Yeah, it's huge.
But when you really know how to grow and change yourself and go with the flow and shift your career or whatever to whatever comes next, security is not the big issue anymore. Freedom is much more the issue.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and freedom is an interesting thing because, yeah, that's I like to play with words because they all have a continuum to change meaning, don't they? Like security this way or security up here. For you and I and a lot of people, we know security would be about being true and truer to your awakening yourself and that evolution, right?
Well, it would, to me, it means being authentic.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you know, if you go down into words, which I love to do, to see how did they come to be, what did they originally mean, and how have they been distorted, but can we go back and use them again, you know, in their most real way. And I love doing that and seeing what comes. So But I do think that what's happening now is weirdly a healthy thing.
Yeah, oh, I think so too. I think we're in a transition time that could be maybe a little scary, a little bit scary, a little bit questionable. But I do believe in the fact we're going through a huge change, right? That we need.
Right, right.
It's not just change, it's morphing into another level of being, right?
I think that, for one thing, shifting out of hierarchy into the new organizational structures that come with the intuition age, which would be flatter structures where there are more virtual teams, where people are co-leaders. There's not the big CEO making $1 billion at the top of a heap. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing that in our administration. You know, here's a person who's at the top of the heap who wants to stay there and run the government as though it's a business. And it's not working.
No.
You know, and it may be, and look, we've got basketball players traveling to Korea to do, you know, it's like you look at the news and it's weirder than reality TV.
Mm-hmm.
It's like everybody, you know, telling the truth, lying. You have to use your intuition to see through all this stuff because it can flip-flop either direction.
Well, the news is just a big marketing tool now, a lot of times, unless you can really hunt through the various types, right?
Well, I think you have to use your intuition to feel what kind of things are telling the truth. And I think you can feel a lot of times, even in the anchors, whether they're speaking forthrightly or whether they have a hidden agenda.
Mm.
Or whether they have ego. And I feel for that in different people, you know, like people who are testifying now. You can almost feel when they're telling the truth or whether they're searching for a distraction or a way to get away with not saying something. You know, you can feel
What did
it.
You think of Comey's interview?
I found it to be quite straightforward and honest.
I did too. But it's interesting, you know, when Bill Clinton had Monica Lewinsky, all that, you know, and there was so much that he did behind the scenes while everybody's mm. racing around getting the scum of this, you know, the latest dirt, I guess, on that. And meanwhile, he got rid of the Glass-Steagall Act, and he did a lot of other things mm. that poured money out of the American economy while got the heroic. Well, so nowadays I'm watching things and I keep saying, oh, here's another Monica Lewinsky. Here's another Monica Lewinsky. Because we don't know what's going on behind it most of the time or a lot of the time, unless you use your intuition. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a tricky thing, isn't it? Because I think with the Clintons, their personas in public are charming,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that is very much a politician's kind of presentation to the world, I think. And yet, they're very smart. And I think that the kinds of works that they were actually trying to do were quite excellent. You know, a lot of them were really, really for the American people in general. And yet, the style had this feeling of, are they telling the truth or are they, you know, just charming us or, you know what I mean? It's so you had to see through, in a way, the external presentation to the core.
And sometimes you had to wait for time to look back and actually see what was going on.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And we won't get into all kinds of personalities, but I just know there's this incredible cover up by doing sensational things that distract the heck out of us all. And they
yes.
and they just do what they want behind the scenes. They don't need our opinions, right?
Right. Well, I think there's a much bigger investigation happening now besides the one that the federal government is doing. And I think the federal cases will run their course, and then perhaps the New York State investigation is going to come in after that. And this is the one about racketeering and the Russian mob and the bunch
Oh,
of
that's
other things,
great. I
right?
didn't know about that, but that's great.
Yeah, and that is, because they can track the money, and that's really where they're going to find the corruption, I think. And I do feel like this is just so loaded with corruption that, it's more
Well,
than we've ever
it's
seen.
trying to be a takeover. I think we knew that, right?
Oh, yeah.
But what about these two fellows that are suing? I think from, I don't know, it's from New Jersey or Maryland, two, what are they? I don't even know if they're Senate or one of them is a governor, I think. But anyway, they've just put on a lawsuit on Trump
I
for.
haven't heard about that one.
Well, I heard something on NPR. They were talking about why they were suing him and what he had done. And a lot of it is the fact that he's running businesses whilst being a president, which isn't
Right,
allowed, you
right,
know.
right.
But they were.
People seem to be overlooking so many of these unethical and probably illegal things that he's doing, like nepotism and running businesses and
But are we going to just keep overlooking it, or do you think people are finally
well,
going to
that's why I
say,
say
wakey,
stand
wakey?
up, start to speak out, write letters, do, let your voice be heard if nothing else. And I mean, I never was political until now, when it's time to almost like be a whistleblower, just do something, stand up and talk about what you think is ethical.
Well, what do you think of Assange? Do you think there's a whole Assange thing and the Russians and all of that is part of the big shift that's creating this? It's not a battle, but it's like you've got the dark stuff, which we've already talked about, all up for grabs, up for investigation and so on. And somebody was writing to me yesterday or the day before that Assange is very involved in the Trump Russia thing. And I was like, well, I don't know that.
I hadn't heard that either, but I mean, the whole thing of leaking and WikiLeaks, and after having just written a book on transparency, I feel like that is going to be a continuing trend, even though a lot of things that could be revealed could actually be hurtful to national security. But if it keeps on going, then more and more and more is revealed, and pretty soon you can't hide things. You don't need to hide things. I think at some point it gets to a stage where things are just known.
Well, also, I mean, I don't know how you feel about war. I could probably guess, but I feel like we have to stop warring with places for the sake of their resources. So when you say national security, I'm going, well, there's a whole other issue in there, isn't there? Like, is it
Well, I
okay?
think there's an issue like around terrorism. But I also think that if we become more of a global economy, then there can be a way of countries exchanging goods or shipping goods around the world to different places that need it, where it's that everybody's needed. Everybody has something to give and to receive back from it. It becomes an integrated system, and so we don't try to take things away from other people. We need them to do it.
But I think when you say national security, that you've just said it in another way. I think that's got to morph into that kind of consciousness.
Right,
So it isn't
right,
national, it's more global. Which
right.
to me is a
Well,
huge
with
thing, but that's going to
cooperation,
happen, huh?
I think things like terrorism will diminish.
Yeah, I think so, where people are being more respected. I
I,
think
you know,
it's
it's
fascinating, isn't it? It makes me think of the health care as well. I mean, we have the ability to look after everyone and make it possible. And we just control it for security reasons and all of that. And yeah, that's pretty interesting as well. That's another big
Well,
subject.
I think that's part of the narcissistic point of view, because narcissists are very cut off from the world. They're alone. They are the sole person who's supposed to do everything. So often, narcissists are quite seductive, attractive, competent, all of the above, and to win people over and to maintain their way in the world, but that isolates them from others. Right. And so if you have isolated points of view, as countries being isolated in their own narcissism or egotism, that's what causes war. I think that, the terrorists are very isolated in their own rigid belief systems or their interpretations of their religion. Not all people who are Muslim think the same way,
Oh, that's for sure.
And, so. Yeah.
So the evolution, it's got to penetrate all these the systems of control that countries do for national security. I go back to that term, right? It's got to become global security. It's got to change in a different way. Like with all the new advances and so on, I think there's jobs for all kinds of people doing things we've never even heard of before.
Right. It's more about global authenticity.
That's right.
You
exactly.
Want to substitute other words for security, and find each kind of people and each country's. It's like each individual now, and we're looking for our life purpose. We're looking for, what am I built for?
Mm-hmm.
What's my filter good for in the world? I'm good at writing, or whatever, and translating higher stuff down to into the world. But other people are really good at building houses and. Designing things, and and countries are like that too. So how do we find our authentic kind of self-expression independently, individually, and as countries?
I think it's a very exciting job, that part. It's helping people be really true to themselves and become more and more authentic.
It is
exciting.
It's so exciting to see people come into the thing that they really love and that they are built for, and they just light up. And then the energy starts flowing and they start creating, and it's
and they even often heal, don't they? They often even or even if they don't and they should cross over, which eventually we do, they're so alive and healed, even if their body is kind of gibbled or ill. I find that really enticing to watch people. But I do know that there's so many things can be done all over the world, and it's never burst forth as much as it is right now, partly because of the internet, I guess, and the contagion of awakening that's going on. Would you agree with that?
Mm-hmm. I do, and I think there are a lot of people that are collaborating internationally now, even in the spiritual movement, there are a lot of teachers in different countries that are doing, webinars together and things like that. Things are really cross-pollinating.
Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that exciting?
I think so. I think I've been saying for a while that I think there's a convening occurring where, when you stabilize your own energy field and let's call it at the level of your home frequency, where you don't doubt that anymore. You're not putting out fear anymore. You're just living in that sort of joyful, creative state. Then it seems like there's no outside world anymore. So people just occur in your field. They come out of the field. They emerge. It's the law of emergence, not the law of attraction.
I love that. I love that. Yes, yes,
there's
yes.
There's nothing to attract. It's just you are a certain way. The people show up. They're the same vibration as you, and then you occur in their fields. So there's this mutual occurring, and then you get more people together, and now we're all occurring in each other's fields. And so this becomes this convening of people who have similar frequencies, similar vibration, and they all have a piece of the puzzle.
Is that the old tribe we used to think about 20 years ago?
Probably. Uh-huh. Yeah.
But it's got a natural grace to its arrival, sort of thing.
Yeah, and I think there are groups that have wanted to do work together and they're finding each other now, and the times are right for this kind of thing to come together and happen, so that, you know, we can find each other. And the ones that I have found so far, and they're starting to happen, everybody does something that the other person doesn't do, but somehow it all fits
Isn't
together.
Isn't that wonderful?
Magical way. And they're all different ages. You know, it's not.
I've noticed there's a lot of collaboration between people of huge decades apart, and there's not such a big thing about it that there was for a while. Yeah.
Well, you know, they have this new category called perennials. Have you read about that?
No, I haven't.
Not
but I love
millennials
that.
Or, you know, boomers or anything.
It's, so we're perennials.
The perennials, yeah, that are all different age groups, kids and old people and everybody, who are, you know, beyond the ageism kind of thing.
I love that so much.
A certain kind of belief system. So I like that a lot.
Before we get to the end of this, can you give people some kind of exercise? Because we're talking about being your authentic self and knowing your own nature and so on. Can you give people some hints about accelerating their rate of finding some of that out about themselves and really honoring who they are? Somebody said to me last year, it's not all about you, you know, and I go, well, actually, it is. Because that's the only place to go to get free. But anyway, I know you have some great ideas. So why don't, or not
well,
ideas, truths, I think.
Two ideas. One I've talked about fairly often is the diamond light body, where you imagine yourself as your diamond light self. It's like an energy body that's totally clear, very high frequency. And it looks like you, it has no blockages. It's you could say it's the soul or it's the under layer of your energy body or something. But anyway, it stands behind your back, puts its hands on your shoulders. You get quiet. You feel that vibration. Then you let it slide inside and step inside. And then it matches up with you, all the parts. Like you have a diamond light heart that goes into your physical heart, and a diamond light brain goes into your physical brain, and a diamond light blood goes into your blood. You know, every part has an ideal counterpart with all the wisdom of how that part needs to function ideally.
And
you just,
that.
You let that take over and you kind of fall into it, you know, and say, oh boy, thank you. I just educate me, because I don't really know. I can't remember what I'm supposed to do, and I forgot, and you know, help me return to my ideal state. And then you realize that as this occurs, hey, wait a minute, I am the diamond light body. Okay, now I'm here. You know, I'm here. I'm running this show. So
nice.
in a way, it's like now the soul comes into the body. You know.
I love that. That I could do that with you. It was wonderful.
And the other one is to start to remember about the spherical reality, that you're sitting in the center of a huge ball.
Okay.
You're in the nucleus, if you think about it, of an energy field. At any given moment, it's the same distance above, below, side to side, front to back, all around you. It's like a huge aura, but it is, maybe you make it diamond light. And whatever you're aware of in any given moment is inside the ball. And the ball expands and contracts like the zoom lens on a camera. So when you focus on taking notes on a piece of paper, it goes down and focuses fairly tightly. If you meditate, it opens up and it includes all kinds of knowledge that comes from that wider focus. And so there's really nothing outside the ball, because if you think of a new thing, the ball has already expanded to include it. So basically, you are the whole unified field, but the sphere is your present moment. It's what your higher self soul is including in your conscious mind in that moment. And it constantly changes, but you never leave the center of that ball. Everything else is inside it with you. All the other people, all the objects, all the different lifetimes you've had, past and future, is all inside the present moment at different frequencies.
And you don't need to parse it to figure out what they are.
No, you can just use your imagination, think of a reality you might like to have, feel it like a little movie, step into it, pretend you're in it,
let your body feel it, and using your attention, not intention, to stay with that vision, it will drop in and actually emerge out of your field, or your field will pattern itself to become that.
That's wonderful. Yeah. Oh, wonderful. Yeah. Wow. So how can people get hold of you, Penny? This has really been delightful for me. Thank you so much.
For inviting me. Yeah, people can get at me through my website, which is just my name, pennypierce.com. And the new book is available for pre-order on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and so forth.
And what's it called again? Transparency.
Transparency, mm-hmm. Yep.
And you're saying about transparency that we are going to have it, be it, and it's part of our evolution, right?
Yes.
Wow,
yes.
That's very exciting. I'm looking forward to it. When again is it coming out?
October 10th.
Super.
10-10. I like those numbers.
That's just wonderful. Well, I thank you so much, Penny Pierce, and it's just wonderful to share you with all of these wonderful people who are listening. And this is Veronica Entwistle saying thank you for tuning in to Paradigm Shifters. We're all that these days. Thanks.